Well, good morning to everyone. Sorry to give you a little update. I was down to see my father yesterday afternoon. They moved into a nursing home. I think it was Sunday or Monday. I forget which. One of those days. Was it Sunday or Monday? It was Monday. So it was Monday. He was moved to a nursing home just north of Lancaster in the town of Nesville on the north side. It's not far from my parents' place, so it's not far from my mother to get rides in to see him. She gets there about every day. She seems to be more tired than normal, probably taking a toll on her being by herself. So they also want to thank you for all the prayers you gave for my father while he was in the hospital and went through the operation. He seems to be doing well. His mind's working, seems sharp. Says he wants to come home, so that's a good sign. But he has very weak. He hasn't got much strength. They've had him up standing once or twice, and he was sitting on a wheelchair when we came in, but he doesn't have much strength. He has to get his strength back, and now he has oxygen all the time, so his heart is getting weaker. But it was good to see him, and it was an enjoyable afternoon. So I ask that you continue to pray for him, that he can regain his strength so that he can have his wish and maybe be able to come back home sometime in the future. I know with Gladys, it was 2 months or so she was in the home getting the rehabilitation to be able to walk again. So it'll probably be at least that long for him as well. Hope you all had a very enjoyable week. It was nice to wake up to snow, wasn't it, this morning? See that snow flurries down. Our road was totally white. I was hoping, boy, I just hope it just keeps on snowing. Wouldn't it be nice to have a foot? And they canceled church today. No, that wasn't the way it was going to be. It's supposed to warm up. I thought about this subject a little bit of time. I couldn't come up with a topic the other time I was preparing one. I gave this at York a couple weeks ago. And I was struggling with the subject. And if any of you who speak know what that's like, it's like you struggle and you struggle and you can't think of any subject to get into. Finally, this one I thought, well, I'll just go back to one of the kings of Israel and see what lessons we can learn from him. So if you take your books and go back to 2 Chronicles 26, today we're going to look about what can we learn from King Uzziah, the king of Judah. We're going through his account of his life, and then we're going to try to pick out about 3 points. Some are good points. There's 2 good points and one not so good point, and then we're going to go through that one point that wasn't so good in his life, and we're going to look at what we can put in our lives that we don't fall into the same trap or stumbling that he fell into in his life. Let's turn back there to 2 Chronicles 26. Maybe you're already there. 2 Chronicles 26. Now you probably read this story or this account of this man's life numerous times in your life already, and you probably also can read a little bit about him in 2 Kings 14 and 2 Kings 15. We're going to stick mostly in the book of Chronicles today in chapter 26, 2 Chronicles 26. We'll go through his life and see what we can learn. So we'll start in verse 1. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eleth, and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his father. And then in verse 3 it says, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years. So he was 68 years old when he probably died. Now I want you to go back in your life. Some of you aren't 16 yet. Some of you are close to 16. My daughter's close. She's going to be driving her car next year. That 16 isn't far off at all. But others of us have passed 16 numerous years ago. Some of us 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Let's see, Gladys must be at least my dad. Let's see, he's 90, so that's quite a ways there, 90. And so he's 80, 75. 74 years ago, my father was 16. How much have we learned, now us that are older, look back, how much have we learned since we were 16? Can you imagine yourself being 16 years old, giving the responsibility of a king of Israel? That's hard to, that can be hard on my account to take all that responsibility at that time. Or you might have thought you could do it at 16, but it would have been very, very difficult. Well, let's read on a little bit more about him. Verse 4, and he did what was, notice, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. So we see here that he followed God's ways. In verse 5, he sought God in the day of Zechariah. And you can read Zechariah, you can go back to the book of Zechariah and see some of that account. He mentions him. Who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the eternal God, God made him prosper. So as long as he did what God told him to do. And you can look at your own lives. As long as we do what God tells us to do, we seem to prosper. When we don't, as you'll see in his account, we don't prosper. God takes some of those things away. Let's go to verse 6 then. It says, now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, the walls of Japhnai, and the walls of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. So we keep reading. It says, God helped him again. The Philistines, in verse 7, against the Arabians who lived in Gur, Baal, and against the Midianites. In verse 8, also the Midianites brought tribute to Uzzah. His fame spread far and wide as Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. So we see that God blessed him in his efforts when he went to take those cities back that were Judah's at one time from the Philistines and the others there. God blessed him. He gave him the means to do it, and he was able to take those cities back. So we see, so far we've seen in his life that he followed God's ways, and God blessed him. Isn't that true of our lives? When we follow God's way, God blesses us. Now notice verse 9 and 10. It says, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttresses of the walls. Then he fortified them. So he rebuilt, made it better, stronger around the city. And he also built towers in the deserts. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plains. And he also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains in Carmel, for he loved the soil. So we see here that he was a man after my own heart, perhaps after your own heart, like to dig in the dirt, watch things, plant the seeds, and watch God bring the increase. He liked that too. He dug wells, so he was prosperous. He built towers, he reinforced Jerusalem. He dug wells, he loved the soil, he liked the garden, and he liked to be a farmer. He had people helping with those things. Go now down to verse 11. It says, moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies according to the numbers on their roll as prepared by Jerahel, the scribe, Maaseiah, the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. Notice how many generals there were and lieutenants. Leaders in the army. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor were 200,600. So that was 2,600 men. Just for the leaders in the army. Now, let's go down to verse 13. It tells you how many men were standing in his army that were willing to fight. And under their authority was an army of 307,500. That's 307,000. Can you imagine that? Plus those men that were above there, that are the officers, if you add those two numbers together, you get a 310,000 man army. 310,100 man army. That's a huge army. But, you know, he must have been prospering. God was blessing him greatly, because if you read one more verse, look what he did for his men. The total numbers of the chief officers of the men. Oh, I'm sorry, went back too far. Let's finish verse 13. That made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemies. Verse 14. Then Uzziah prepared for them for the entire army. All those men he prepared and gave them shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, slings to cast stones. So he just didn't have this army. He gave them armor, gave them armor and weapons to help protect them from harm when they were in battle. So he must have, God was prospering him, or he wouldn't have been able to do that. So God was definitely blessing him. And then let's go down to verse 15. And this is interesting. He said, and he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skilled men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones, so his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously held, till he became strong. So these, one place I read, perhaps, I don't know for sure, perhaps they were like an engine of some type, where they had some kind of thing that could throw something off the wall onto the men that were coming up to fight against Jerusalem. I think of the Middle Ages, you remember those catapult type things that swung things. I don't know if he had those, but he had some means to move those objects, because it said he made devices by skilled men from the tower to shoot arrows and large stones. So that gives you an idea. You don't just shoot a large stone off the wall. There has to be some means to do it. So he must have had some, these men that helped him do that, had some kind of projectile. He could project it. So we, from the next point I come from this, from the, what we learned there is he was a successful warrior. He built cities. He dug wells. And God was still blessing him. But he was a successful warrior. Now notice what happens in verse 16. It says, but when he was strong in his heart, we can look at the last part of verse 15. It says, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Something happened. Now verse 16. But when he was strong in his heart, was lifted up to his destruction for the transgression against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Justin was talking a little bit about the Holy of Holies, but outside of that was the incense, where the priest would go in more often. And if you go back in Deuteronomy, and you can go back in Leviticus, it talks about this. Only the sons of Aaron, as we will see, were to go into that temple. No king, no ordinary person was to go burn incense on the incense for God. And you can read that for yourselves. But let's keep reading. He got lifted up. He got in his head. He seemed to become full of pride and vanity. He thought he was above the rules of God. Isn't that interesting? It's easy to do, isn't it? We could all end up doing that if we aren't careful. He forgot who gave him all he had. Now verse 17 and 18 it says, so Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Eternal, valiant men. Or not valiant men, valiant. Oh well, strong men. I always think of that individual, those men, for men ready to take him out. And that's what they're going to do. Verse 18, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Eternal, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Eternal God. So I don't see how you can be more plain when they say, get out of the sanctuary. There's no... It wasn't very politically correct, was it? They told him right point blank, get out. There was a right and a wrong. You're not allowed in here. God says not, so just get out. But notice Uzziah's response. Then Uzziah became, in verse 19, furious. He became angry. Probably his veins were popping out of his neck. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. So God said, enough is enough. I'm going to put leprosy, give you leprosy. And notice what the priest says in verse 20. Uzziah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there was on his forehead, and he was leprous. So they thrusted him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. He wanted to leave. He knew how serious that was to have leprosy and the disease of the eating away of the flesh and the bones. Second, in verse 21, King Uzziah was leprous until the day of his death. He dwelt in isolated houses because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Eternal. Then, Jotham, his son, was over the king's house and judging the people of the land. So you've seen he got very angry when he told him to get out, but then he seemed to change his mind when he found out God struck him with leprosy. He wanted to get out, and they took him out. Notice his son reigns in his place, so maybe he lived to be 68 years old, but for the last part of his days, his son was actually doing most of the ruling. Now notice verse 22 when he dies. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote, "So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place." So the kings had a burial place, and they always buried him in that particular area. And there was a field beside it. They didn't bury him with the kings because he had leprosy. They buried him outside of that. So he was, even in his death, God didn't let him be buried, and they didn't bury him with the kings themselves. But a plot, like outside of it, because of his leprosy. So the point we learn here, there's another point we can learn. He left his pride. He thought he was great in his own eyes, led him to his downfall. So now, we see that we had 3 points about him. One, he followed God's way in the beginning of his life, and God blessed him greatly. He was a successful warrior and a city builder, all because of those blessings. And then, as he got older in life somewhere, he got in his head that he could take the place of the priests in the temple, and he didn't listen to God. Listen to God. He told him, because God said you weren't allowed to do that unless you were a son of Aaron. And he let his pride go to his head. And he led to his downfall. That doesn't say at the end of his life what frame of mind he's in. But I imagine if you had leprosy, you weren't prideful anymore. You probably lost that somewhere down the line if you were in that state of health, very poor health. So, I'd like to look a little now about pride and what it does to our thinking and what it causes in our lives. So let's look at some scriptures about that. And then we're going to look at things that we can put in our lives so that if we ever get in that state of frame of mind of being prideful, what we can put in our minds that will help us not to get that way. God shows us in his word some things we can put in its place. But let's look in Proverbs 26:12, and we'll talk a little bit about pride. This was Solomon speaking, Proverbs 26, verse 12. We'll look a couple Proverbs up here about pride. Proverbs 26 and verse 12, it says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes?" It's a question. "There's more hope for a fool than for him." So Solomon didn't beat around the bush. He made it pretty plain there, didn't he? There's more hope for a fool than for a person full of pride, wise in his own eyes. And then let's go to verse Proverbs 13:10. Here Solomon writes a little bit more. He says, "By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom." So we see that pride distorts the thinking in the first one. In Proverbs 26, in Proverbs 13, it says, pride causes strife. There's not peace. Let's go to Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And then the next verse tells you what to do. It says, "Better to be humble spirit with the lowly and to divide the spoil with the proud." But pride goes before destruction. It's always, just like if you think of his life, Uzziah's life, he was so full of himself that he thought he was superior to God himself. He forgot the blessings God gave him. All that he had. He was 16 years old when he started to reign, and he didn't know nothing. Well, I shouldn't say he didn't know nothing, but he knew very little how to reign over the people, and God helped him to see it, taught him what to do, what direction he should go, and he put his faith and trust in God, and then as his life went on, he said he forgot. He seemed to forget all that, where it all came from. And that's really what pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now let's, we think we can see that pride causes pride distorts our thinking. It also causes strife among others. And we can also see that in the last verse that we read, pride causes destruction. So what must we do to keep from getting pride in our own lives? What must we put in its place? What was lacking? What was he lacking? I have 2 points that I should tell you. What we must do to keep from becoming full of pride, like King Uzzah. The first one we'll look at is in Proverbs 11:2. Stay in Proverbs. We don't want you to get your fingers wore out today too much. Thought we'd stick in Proverbs pretty much. Proverbs 11:2. Notice what it says in Proverbs. Solomon wrote here in Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame. If you think of his life, that's very true. Perhaps you can think of your own life when we get in that frame of mind. But notice what Solomon writes next. But with the humble is wisdom. So he's telling us that we have to stay in that humble frame of mind, realizing that God is supreme and that we can never forget where we came from or what we were and how he brought us from wherever we were to where we are today. Let's go to Proverbs 15:33. Proverbs 15:33. Proverbs 15:33. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So we have to have humility if God is going to honor us. And pride is just the opposite of that. He can't honor us. He can't work with us if we're not having humility. Let's go to just across the page of Proverbs 16:18. And I read this before. I went on with it when I was reading the other one. But it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But notice it says, better to be in a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So humility is a big factor. We must have humility. Proverbs 18:12. Solomon writes a little more. Proverbs 18:12. It says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Before everything's going along great, we think great, we get in our minds and we become haughty. We think higher in ourselves than we should. And before honor is humility. So humility brings on honor. Honor only comes when we are in a humble frame of mind. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. We have one more here. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. So Solomon just keeps repeating that same thing over again. Humility is what we need. We need to stay humble and remember who provides all we have. And who gave it to us all. Everything we have, God has given it to us. We must stay in that humble frame of mind. Let's turn to one scripture in the New Testament, and you could turn to numerous others. Let's first turn to 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 and 6. First Peter 5 and verse 5 and 6, it says, likewise, you young people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's pretty simple. It's about as plain as a little nutshell as you can put it. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Don't forget God, that he may exalt you in due time. It really sums up that we have to stay in that humble frame of mind. Now let's look at something else we have to put in our lives, not just humility. There's something else we must put in our lives so that we don't become prideful. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. We'll look at a couple scriptures about this then. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The next thing we have to remember is to be thankful. You know, it's so easy to look back. I look back on my life. When I started out in life, I had nothing. And you were the same way. It don't matter where you were born, you came out, you were nothing. If somebody wouldn't have fed you, yeah, you wouldn't have been here. Neither would I. God was someone who took care of each and every one of us. Our mothers did that for us, and our fathers provided for us, however it was. But we would have nothing. And then we go on in life, and we grow up, and we get married, perhaps. We have children. We start out in married life, and most of us, if you didn't come from a well-to-do family, you had nothing. They said, well, congratulations. I'm glad you're getting married, and they give you gifts, and I honor you. But then you had to make it on your own. And some of us started out in different stages in life. And I remember in my life, I started out with very little. Now as time progresses, I had children. God blessed us with children. All the time, God is blessing you. It's easy to get to a stage in your life about the time you're 40, or 5, or 50. Things life is getting better. Things are going easier. You don't have to worry about paying your bills anymore. They seem to get a little easier. But you know, God can take it all away like that. All he has to do is either let you get sick, send you to the hospital. Some of you have insurance, some of us don't, but it doesn't matter. They pay your bills for a period of time, and then if you exceed that period of time, they say, forget it. We gave you enough money. Now, all the things that you've gained is gone. It can be all gone in an instant. All because you got sick. Or whatever else happens in life. So anything can happen. I think it's very easy as we get older to forget about where it all came from. Now, I'm sure we don't if we stay in a humble frame of mind and we're thankful. And that's what we must do, not to become prideful and think too highly of ourselves and remember that God gave it all. Well, let's go to Psalm to look a little bit more about being thankful in Psalm 138. Psalm 138 and verse 1-3. We're going to read a psalm at the end of this. That really helps us. If you remember this psalm, when we get to the end, it'll really help us to remember to always stay in that humble frame of mind and give us thanks. It's something that we can read continually through our lives. Let's go to Psalm 138, verse 1 to 3. It says, I will praise you with my whole heart, David writes. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried to you, you answered me and made me bold and with strength in my soul. So God, David's telling us he was thankful and he remembered and he was very thankful to God. Let's go to Colossians 3 verse 16. Colossians 3, we'll see that what Paul states here about being thankful. Colossians 3:16. I've read this before about putting on a new man, but I just want to read this one part of this in verse 16 and 17. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the eternal. In verse 16 it says, and verse 17 states, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul's telling us that we continually must give thanks to God, because he's the one that gives everything that we have. Psalm 92, in verse 1 and 2. Psalm 92, in verse 1 and 2. Psalm 92 and verse 1 and 2, it states, it is good to give thanks to the Eternal and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. So that's truly telling us that we should give not just we can sing praises to Him that way, but we should give our prayers in the morning and night, and we should always remember to thank Him for everything we do. Everything He does, not what we do. Everything that He does for us each day. We need to give that thanks to Him. And if we are, we won't ever forget where it all comes from. It doesn't matter how much wealth you gain in your life. It doesn't matter how many children God blesses you. It doesn't matter about anything, because you always remember to thank Him, because He's the one that gave it and made it all possible. We could have all had children, those of us that had children, and we could have had some that weren't completely whole in whatever means. Some of us are going through trials now with cancers and stuff. God could give us cancer, and we can learn from those lessons. Sometimes He intervenes and heals us. Sometimes He doesn't. He knows what's best, but we can still give Him thanks. Sometimes when we're going through those trials, we never figure out what it is until it's all over and we look back. And then we really can give thanks for what He reveals to us. I think of Job's case. You can probably think of that too. Took his whole life. When he gets to the end, God says he was self-righteous. He thought too highly of himself. And Job finally sees it. He lived all that time, and he didn't notice that what he was doing. Sort of like when we go through trials, we come up at the conclusion and see what it is that God's trying to teach us. It helps us to be thankful, realizing He just wants to teach us more of His ways. Now let's turn, we were at Psalm 92. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's very plain. You couldn't have wrote it much plainer. Verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. So we're to give thanks to others, and we're to share what God has given us with other people as we can. We've seen that King Uzziah, he had many points in his life. He first followed God's way, and God blessed him greatly, didn't he? And he does that in our lives. He blesses us greatly. He was a successful warrior, and he built cities, he built wells, and he had vineyards, and he had farmers, and he was very prosperous, and God gave him great blessings. And then he let pride come in his life. He thought he was better than God. He left the pride, and he thought he was great in his own eyes, and it led to his downfall. And we can look in our lives, and we could possibly get to those stages in our lives. We've seen that humility helps us to combat pride. And being thankful to God helps us keeps us from being prideful. If we continue to keep humility and thankfulness in our minds to God our Father, who gives us all things, our chances of having pride go way down. Now I'd like to turn to a psalm and read it to you. And this psalm seems to, when I read it, seems to help us. If we ever get in a frame of mind where we aren't thankful and we aren't in a humble frame of mind, seems to help us bring us back to where God wants us and He can use us. Let's go to Psalm 139. We'll read Psalm 139. David wrote this psalm. And notice what it states. O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. That's true. We all know that. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. God doesn't miss a thing. He sees what each of us do all the time. He knows when we get up, when we lie down. He knows what we're thinking. He knows everything about us. Verse 4. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. He knows what we're going to say. He knows it before we speak it, as we are thinking about it. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, David asked? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, into the clouds or into space, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take my wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, you go out in the ocean, someplace in the center of the ocean, he says, even there, you, in verse 10, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as day. God sees all. He's there. He's willing to protect us. He's willing to help us. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. It doesn't matter if it's dark or bright. On a dark night when it's rainy and dreary, do you ever go outside when it's dark and it's dreary and you can't see hardly, it's foggy, you can't see anything in front of you? God's there. He can see it and he can help you. Verse 13. For you form me, you form my inner parts, you cover me in my mother's womb. That's an interesting one if you think about that. If he formed you in his inner part, in your inner parts, in your mother's womb, then he must have known you before you were born. That's an excellent one to ask someone about abortion. I will praise you, he said, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And we all know that. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the day fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more numerable than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. So when we lie down at night and we wake in the morning, God is with us. And while we're sleeping, God's there protecting us. Verse 19, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hates you? If you think about that statement, that's an interesting concept. It says, do not I hate them, O Lord, who hates you? And we should hate their actions when they go contrary to God's way, but we don't hate the person. We hate their actions that go contrary to God's way. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Do I not loathe those who raise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred, it says. I count them my enemies. Verse 23, search me, O God, he says, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God's word is in our life. God works in our lives. Let us never forget all he does for us. Let us always be in a humble frame of mind. Let us always be thankful for all he does for us. And pride won't exist in us. This is the thought Uzzah needed when he became prideful and went into the temple. He needed that concept. He needed to say to God, like in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in thy way everlasting. And that's what Uzzah needed. He needed those humility and being thankful. He needed to remember just how much God had given him all. So let us all stay in that humble frame of mind. And let us always remember to be thankful. And if we do, we can be helpful to other people and God can be useful to us. It's interesting about King Uzzah. Let us never forget the example he set for us.